Well, I do want to welcome our parents here today. This is Parents Weekend at Union College. I know we have some visitors here with us, and we are thrilled to have your young people here with us, and we will take good care of them. But thank you so much for entrusting them to us, and thank you for worshiping here with us. Well, we're going to start a new series today. We're going to start talking about scary stories in the Bible. So hopefully you won't get too scared. But if you have your Bibles, I hope that you will leave them opened up to our scripture reading today, Mark chapter 5. Question for you as we begin. How many of you, when you were younger perhaps, played the game hide and seek? Did you do that as a young person? Yeah, it's a great game, isn't it? Very fun. I used to play that with my sister and my cousins when we were little, and it was so exciting to try and be the last one found. Because then you'd win that game of hide and seek. And believe it or not, I was pretty good at hide and seek when I was young. Because, believe it or not, I was not that big of a child. I mean, I was kind of small. It was shocking, I know, to some of you, to me to confess that fact. But I was so small that I could get into tight places and I could hide behind things so people couldn't see me. So I was very good at hide and seek. And then there were times, and I tell you what, it would never fail. It would never fail that I would, whenever I would find the perfect hiding spot, that one place where I knew for sure no one would ever find me and I was going to win, whenever I would find that hiding spot and I'd get tucked away, never failed, I would get there and be like, yes, I'm going to win this. And then be like, I have to use the restroom. Would never fail. I was fine when we started the game, but as soon as I found that perfect spot, I would get there and be like, I'd start to squirm. And I couldn't stay in my hiding place anymore. Do you remember those games of hide and seek? Some of us keep playing hide and seek even after we grow up. And we've gotten so good at the game that we do not realize that we're playing it. And we hide from each other in our lives. We hide from those that we love, and we hide from God many days. So this morning, we're going to look in the Bible. We're going to look at a man that the Bible tells us was pretty awful at hide and seek. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open them up to Mark chapter 5, or if yours is electronic, turn that thing on and join me in Mark chapter 5, and let's pick up our story. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." So Jesus and his disciples, they get out of the boat, and suddenly a scream tears through the air, and a demon-possessed man looks at them. How would you react if you were there with Jesus? Would you have been scared? Would you? I mean, the disciples, when this happened, the disciples scattered like frightened bunnies. This guy comes out and screams at them. And where has he been? Verse 3 says that this man with the unclean spirit had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. So this guy has been living among dead things. He's been in a cemetery, which is actually a pretty good hiding place. If you're going to hide from people, a cemetery, it might be a pretty good place to hang out. But I want you to watch this. Mark tells us that this man, in verse 6, ran up to Jesus. So the first thing we learn in this story is that this guy is absolutely horrible at hide and seek. He doesn't understand the concept at all. My friends, if you were possessed by demons and Jesus showed up, wouldn't you stay hidden? Wouldn't you want to make sure Jesus never spotted you? Well, growing up, I'm grown up now, but I do still get the chance to play hide and seek every now and then. My kids like that game, and I remember playing it with Ethan years ago. He was just a little guy, and he loves this part of the sermon because I always find a picture and show it to him. And I always get permission these days to do that. And he said, "It's all right, Dad, go ahead." But years ago, I'd play hide and seek with Ethan, and he didn't quite get the concept quite yet. So he would run and hide, and I would count one, two, three, and I'd get to my thing, and then I'd walk around the house. Walk around, look a little bit, and I'd say, "Where's Ethan at? Where's Ethan?" And then as soon as I'd do that, I'd hear, "Behind the closet." I tried to explain how to play the game, and we tried again. "Where's Ethan at?" "In the shower." He just couldn't keep a secret. He had to let his dad know where he was. Couldn't keep quiet. Well, this demon-possessed man was also not good at hiding. He's possessed by evil. He's probably thinking that he was evil at this point in time. Luke's version tells us that this man runs up to Jesus and he's naked. Doesn't have clothes on, or maybe just a little loincloth. Would you want to be naked in front of God? Mark 5 verse 5 tells us, "And always day and night he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones." The Bible tells us that this man was a cutter. This cutting phenomenon that's happening out there, it's nothing new. It happened back in Bible times, cutting oneself. Can Jesus help someone who's a cutter? Let's find out. He's got broken chains hanging from his arms and his legs. He's got superhuman strength that he can just break them. And he's crazy. Bible says that he spends day and night, in verse 8, day and night just screaming. He looks like a wild beast. Wouldn't you hide from Jesus if you were this guy? If you looked like this? Well, many of us are maybe too old to play kids' games. We're all grown up now. But we're still playing hide and seek, aren't we? We play hide and seek with who we truly are. Certain things that we keep hidden from each other. Maybe we hide behind a mask. These deep things that are in us, and we're afraid to share them. So we hide certain parts of ourselves. Do you know why we do that? The only answer that I can give is because of fear, friends. That's why we hide. It starts when we're little, and then it grows in us. We're afraid that we're going to be judged by others. We're afraid that we'll be shunned by others. Or we're afraid that people will realize that we're not quite as perfect as we pretend to be. We've gotten so good at playing hide and seek with each other that we play hide and seek with God too. Which is really kind of silly, isn't it? Trying to hide from God. But we do it, don't we? We only want God to see certain parts of ourselves. Only let him deal with certain sins that we have. But the ugly parts, the really bad parts, the mess, we can't show Jesus those things, can we? Why would we hide from God? Again, the only answer I can give you is fear. That's what causes us to hide. It's what caused Adam and Eve to hide after they made the first mistake, that first mess. The Bible tells us in Genesis 3 that God comes and he's walking as he always did. He's walking in the Garden of Eden. And what do? Instead of running up to him saying, "Here we are," they go hiding behind a tree. They've messed up. We've messed up. And we all know it. But we fear that our mess is too great for God to handle. Which means that we fear that God has a limit to his grace. Well, friends, let's look this morning. Let's see if there's a limit to Christ's grace and his power. You see, this demon-possessed man, he could have stayed hidden from Jesus, couldn't he? He could have stayed in the tombs. They would have never noticed him. But this man is desperate for help, and somehow in his fogged mind, he dimly realizes who Jesus is, and he runs up to Christ. He could have stayed in the tombs. I think that's where the demons wanted to keep him. He could have thought, I'm naked. I can't let Jesus see me like this. Or he could have thought, I've cut myself. I'm all bloody. I've got scars all over me. I can't go to him. The Bible tells us that people had tried to help this guy before. Help. And tried to tie him up, bind him with chains. And sometimes that's the only help that sinners get from people. Let's just tie up your problem and let's hide you out of sight. That's the help we give. Is that the way Jesus will treat this man? Well, instead of hiding, this wretched man ran. And verse 6 says that he ran to the only one who could help him. He ran before Jesus and he fell down before him. He resisted the demons that said, "Don't go." And he ran to the only one who could help him. He came to Christ. And I want you to watch this, friends. Catch this. He ran to Jesus with nothing to offer. Isn't that true? He's got nothing to offer Jesus. He comes up to him naked, torn, bleeding, scarred, rejected, hopeless. A complete picture of what humanity would look like if Satan had full and total sway on this world. We can see images of this man and what the devil wants to do still in our society today. It still happens. This man had nothing to offer Christ. He could hide nothing from Christ. Everything is laid bare. And he runs before Jesus and bows down, and he hopes with a desperate hope that the Son of Man could possibly help him. And what would Jesus do? As this wild man races up to Jesus, spit flying, hair flying, chains jangling, screaming, I want you to watch what Jesus didn't do. Look in your Bible. As he's running up to Jesus and he bows down, does your Bible say Jesus ran away? It better not. If it does, get rid of that Bible. Doesn't say Jesus ran away. Jesus didn't run from this scary man, and even better, Jesus didn't turn away from this man. Amen? Christ is not scared or repulsed by the disgusting parts of us. Now I want you to watch Jesus in action. Jesus didn't preach at him, did he? Doesn't. And Jesus didn't send him away. He didn't say, hey, you go and get yourself cleaned up. Clean up your act and then come and we'll talk. Jesus gave this man the help that he needed because Jesus had the power to free this man. For only the Son of Man has the power to save this man from the grip of the demons that hold him. And this demon-possessed man is a picture of all fallen humanity, cowering, afraid, hanging out in the graveyard. Friends, one of humanity's greatest fears is that our mess is too much for Jesus to handle. Have you ever been afraid of that? And maybe my mess is just too much for Jesus. Well, if that's the case, I need you to look at this story again and again, maybe every day of your life. For the powers of evil that are in our lives, are they too great for Jesus to deal with? Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 8. And Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Jesus asks him for his name. He's never done that before, never asked for a demon's name from a person who's possessed. But we find out why. The guy says, "Legion, for we're many." And legion was a term in the Roman armies. A legion of Roman soldiers was 6,000 Roman soldiers. So there are multiple demons possessing this man. That's why when Jesus said, "Come out of him," the demons could just be like, "I don't know, was he talking to you? You? I don't know." So Jesus knew that he was dealing with someone who was multiplied in the possession. You think the disciples were afraid at this point? You think they're like, Jesus, let's just get back in the boat. I know last night was scary with the storm and all, but it's not as scary as this thing. Story of Mark chapter 4 tells them that the disciples were terrified. Fear gripped them when the storm was raging. And then when Jesus calms the storm, then they're terrified of Jesus. Who is this guy who can do this? Then they get out on the beach. Another scary story happens. Here comes this crazy man running at them. And again, they're scared. Can Jesus handle this? Is Jesus strong enough to handle what we fear most in life? Can Jesus defeat evil? Now, I know here in America, in our society, we may not think that evil is as rampant as it really is. It seems to hide in the shadows. But I'm here to tell you that there is evil in this world. If we believe in the good and mighty angels of God, we have to believe in the fallen angels of Satan as well. And many times, if you listen to missionary stories, they will tell you about things they've experienced. There is evil in this world, friends, and it is not to be played with. I was doing an evangelism series years ago, preaching each night and getting to know the people who were coming, and I'd visited with this gal, and she told me what she'd been facing. And I said, you keep coming to the meetings. Preached a sermon, and then when the sermon was over, I was back at the back of the church, you know, doing the shaking hand things. Hey, how are you? Good, so glad you came. Good, thank you. And then the next one, hey, how are you? This gal came up to me. And as she shakes my hand, she puts something in my hand. And she says, I don't want this any longer, Pastor. I said, okay. I open my hand up, and it's a demon ring in my hand. Okay, so I put it in my pocket real quick. Hey, how are you doing? And I keep shaking hands with people as I've got a demon ring in my pocket. I get done with the last person, and we get everything taken down, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this thing? I didn't want to just throw it away and let someone else find it. So once everyone had left, we had a workshop at that church, and so I went in there, and I grabbed a hammer. And I got the ring, and I went outside onto the concrete, put the ring there, took the hammer, whack! And then for good measure, whacked it again. Then I went and picked it up. Ow! The thing was red hot to the touch. I eventually got it and tossed it away. Gal kept coming to the meetings, and she said, what do I do? She told me the story that she had gone to a haunted house. Not one of these haunted houses that we set up in October, but a place that was really purported to be haunted. And the owner took her downstairs where the spirits were supposed to be. She said she felt like one of them got onto her and came home with her. The thing would talk to her. And she talked to me about it, and she said, I don't want this thing anymore. I said, well, it's more than the ring. If you have anything else, if you have any paraphernalia of evil in your house, you got to get rid of them. She said, okay. So she came back to church, and she had a box full of tarot cards, witch stuff, all this stuff. She said, I don't want it anymore, Pastor. I said, praise the Lord. We prayed together. And so now in my office at church, I had a box full of all this stuff. What am I going to do with this? I want to just throw it away and let someone else find it. So I talked to my youth pastor. I said, you got a fireplace at your apartment, right? She said she did. I said, well, I want you to take this stuff, and I want you to leave it around, and I don't want you to read it. Just take it and burn it, all of it. So she took it home that night and burned it. She came back the next day. She said, I've had a fire several times. I like to have a fire in my apartment here in the winter. She said, but nothing has ever burned that hot. The blaze of fire that came out of there, I've never felt anything like that before, Michael. There is evil in this world, friends. As I visited with this gal, she told me that this thing was talking to her. She even went and got a psych test. She said, I hope I'm crazy. And the psych test came back and said, no, you're not crazy. She said, this thing's talking to me. I said, well, what's it saying? She says, it doesn't like you. I said, good. I don't much like it either. But she kept coming. We eventually had a prayer for her, an anointing service. But there is a battle going on between good and evil. And it's nothing. Nothing to be trifled with. But I want you to catch this point, friends. In Mark chapter 5, finally me back in the Bible, down to verse 13. These demons are now begging Jesus, don't cast us out into the abyss. At least send us into these pigs over here. Verse 13 says, then at once Jesus gave them permission. Jesus says, go. And when Jesus tells this horde of demons to leave the man, what do? They leave. They cannot stay. They have no power to resist the Son of God. So friends, we need not fear the evil in this world because Jesus was, is, and always will be more powerful. This man knelt down before the only one who could help him. Poor and naked, bleeding, broken and beaten, with nothing good to offer, nothing but a mess. And Jesus traveled across a stormy sea in order to save this man. Because Jesus saw the man more than the mess. Amen? Jesus Christ sees the man or the woman more than the mess. And Jesus knew that he was this man's only hope. The Son of God traveled across the sea of the universe to save all humanity because Jesus knew that he was our only hope. But friends, the only way that we can receive power, the only way that we can receive grace, the only way that we can receive help from Christ is to come out from our hiding place and to come before him. To go before Christ with nothing to give. To show Jesus who we truly are and to say, Lord, this is my mess. Jesus, do you still love me? Jesus, will you help me? And I'm here to tell you, if we'll do that, that our Jesus has the power to still save lost souls, to still save you and me. Every demon at the voice of God, at the voice of Jesus, scattered and ran from that man. Verse 18 tells us, and when Jesus got back into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed, now he's in his right mind, every demon is gone, says he begged Jesus that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you. Every demon is cast out of this man, amen? Complete and total victory. And then Jesus says, you got work to do. You need to go and tell others. Friends, we need not be afraid of our sins. This month we're going to talk about the things we fear and if we should truly fear them. And we learned today that we need not be afraid of our sins. Because if Jesus can help this man with his evil and his mess, then Jesus is powerful enough to handle our sins and our mess too. Amen? We just have to stop hiding and be real with each other and with God. When we come to Christ, friends, it doesn't matter what cuts you carry. It doesn't matter what scars you bear. It doesn't matter if you're ashamed. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It matters that you come. And his grace, his power, and his love is sufficient for you, for me, and for all of us. We do not need to fear the powers of evil. We do not need to fear that our mess is too much for God because Jesus is greater. Friends, if you've been playing hide and seek in your life, if you've been playing hide and seek with God, it's time to be like my son when he would hide. And it's time to shout out, Daddy, here I am. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, long ago you saved a man at the very end of his rope, lost among the dead things. That man came and begged you for help. And then, Lord, after you gave him that help, he begged that he could stay with you. But you said, no. Go and tell your people what the Lord has done for you. Lord, may we leave this place and may we let go of our fear so that we'll stop hiding from you. Save us in spite of ourselves. And then help us to tell someone else about the great things that you have done and to tell of your mercy to save anyone, anyone who says, Father, here I am. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.